more Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. Imagine you're sitting in a beautiful mountain setting and you're surrounded by jagged peaks and tumbling waterfalls. Or maybe you're standing in the middle of a sprawling desert landscape or resting alongside the Big Wood River in Sun Valley. Got that in your head? Okay, now imagine you can hear live classical music directly in your ears using headphones as you watch the beauty unfold around you. This is what happens every time classical pianist Hunter Nowak sits down at his piano to play a concert. Hunter brings his 9-foot Steinway to remote wilderness locations all over the country to play classical music. And next week, he's coming to Sun Valley. Hunter is a classical pianist and the founder of the In a Landscape Classical Music in the Wild concert series. He's joining us now with Christine Patel, Public Programs Director with Sun Valley Museum of Art. I want to welcome both of you to Idaho Matters.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks, Emma.
So, Hunter, let me start with you. How did you get started doing this?
So I started back in 2016, and I had just finished my master's degree in London, was back in Oregon where I grew up, spending a lot of time outdoors hunting and fishing and backpacking. And basically, I wanted to figure out a way to bring a piano camping. I had heard about this production in Los Angeles, an opera run by a group called Invisible, or a show called Invisible Cities, where they used wireless headphones to give the audience sort of this amazing sound, but also the flexibility to wander through Union Station throughout the duration of the concert. And so I thought, well, this is such a brilliant idea. It's the first time I had heard classical music being presented kind of outside of a concert hall without using amplified sound. And so I thought this would be a great thing to experiment with, bringing piano music and chamber music, the music that I love, into the settings that I find most inspiring. And so we did 9 concerts in 2016, kind of inspired by that production, that opera production in Los Angeles, as well as the WPA, the Works Progress Administration, which was a government stimulus plan back in the 1930s that really brought a lot of the fine arts into our public lands. And so that sort of started the project, and then it went really well. So it's now sort of turned into a nonprofit organization that we spend the whole year kind of running around the West doing these outdoor concerts.
Okay, so let's talk about the concerts themselves, Hunter. You figured out a way to get a piano into the woods. How in the world does that work mechanically? Because we're talking a 9-foot piano.
Yeah. So this is it's actually a 111-year-old 9-foot Steinway Model D. So it's the same piano that's in Carnegie Hall and in most major halls around the world. And we basically designed our own kind of trailer system so that we can move it to the top of a mountain or to the middle of a desert without professional piano movers. And so just, you know, me and my crew, we can drive pretty much anywhere and set up the piano, and the trailer is the stage. So the piano stays on the trailer. It sort of does a little transformer trick and turns into the stage. And then we pass out the headphones. And so people come to the show, they put on their headphones, and then they can either sit and watch me perform, or they can wander through the landscape, in some cases up to about a half a mile away.
Okay. So my understanding then, Hunter, is, I mean, you give them the headphones, this is how they listen. So it's not like there are chairs or benches and you're, you know, folks are sitting there watching you play. I mean, they could if they wanted to, but the goal is to really be out in that natural landscape.
That's right. Yeah. My hope is that the music becomes a soundtrack to their experience in the landscape. And there's something about, you know, you could wear headphones and, you know, listen to your iPod and kind of walk around the woods, but there's something sort of really special about live music in community, where we're all kind of experiencing the same, you know, if there's a gust of wind that flows by or a flock of geese, you know, it somehow makes, it's as if we're all in the same movie and the soundtrack is, and listening, you know, to the same soundtrack. And so it kind of connects us all in a way that, that's really kind of magical.
And Christine, this is the second time that Hunter is coming to Sun Valley. So why did you want to bring him back to this area again?
Hunter, as he just said, that it is really magical. And I cannot quite underscore that enough, that there is this real beauty in community coming together, listening to the same thing, seeing the same thing through their eyeballs. But yet it's this like deeply immersive experience. And Hunter also speaks beautifully about the pieces and really invites people to move around in the landscape while listening. And people had such a strong and fantastic reaction to it last year that I just couldn't help myself but want to bring it back. And we're in a different location than we were last year. We're in a field right along the Bigwood River, just a little bit south of Ketchum. And when people get tickets, I will, you know, give them directions and all that kind of thing. But again, it really, I think, so encapsulates for what a lot of people feel about the wild and feel about the wilderness, while also enjoying this incredible art form and this beautiful piano, while kind of, it almost feels like a secret inside experience that you make eye contact with people. And it's kind of that unspoken, like, oh my gosh, can you believe what's happening right now? And I was just thrilled to be able to host it a first time, and am honored to have In a Landscape and Hunter come back a second time.
So Hunter, what kind of music do you play? And do you choose your music based on like the location where you're at?
Yeah, so I play a broad section of classical music, everything from Baroque to music that's written, you know, for me or for a particular place. I tend to choose kind of shorter pieces, like under 10 minutes. I talk about each piece before I play it. Sometimes it's a little context about the music or about my relationship with that piece. And generally the kind of music, like if we're say, you know, by the Bigwood River, I might play Ravel's Ondine, which is a poem about a water sprite and her song, or Debussy's Reflections in the Water, and tell people maybe to go stick their toes in the water or sit by the river and watch the reflections. And, you know, and so some of the music is very kind of site specific, or it might just be, you know, a piece that I feel strongly about in the moment, like playing. Other times I give the audience a choice, like I'll give them a choice between, you know, a piece, a concerto, a movement of a concerto by Rachmaninoff or Ravel. And so it's very sort of casual. And most of the music is what I think of as just like kind of undeniably beautiful. It's generally more on the kind of, I would say, mellow side. So music that's kind of spacious, that lends itself to daydreaming and to wandering. But then there are, of course, a few pieces by Franz Liszt that are a little bit more virtuosic and kind of flashy.
So Hunter, you've done what? More than 200 concerts in some really remote locations. Can you give us an idea of some of the places you've been?
Yeah, we've done about 230 concerts so far. We've done, you know, we were the first music allowed at places like Joshua Tree National Park, Yosemite National Park, Crater Lake National Park. So we've done some kind of celebrity sites like that, which have been really amazing. We've also done concerts in -2 degrees in Big Sky, Montana, 114 degrees during a heat wave in Oregon.
Wow.
And so it kind of spreads runs most of our concerts, I'd say, are in public land. So public parks, Forest Service, BLM. We also work with a lot of land trusts to kind of showcase conservation work or private property. We also work with, natural resource management companies like timber companies to present concerts in log yards and in managed timberlands. And so it's really kind of all over the map. But yeah, that's, I think, what kind of makes the project interesting is that even if you hear the same piece from show to show, the landscape completely changes the experience of that music.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot right now, Hunter. So you, as you've just mentioned, you've been to deserts, you've been to mountains, even farms. Have you had a favorite location that you've performed at?
You know, that is, I think the thing is, sometimes I would think about kind of these more, like if there was a goal, you know, somebody would ask me like, well, where do you want to play? What's sort of a dream? And I might, you know, I might say the top of a mountain or, you know, I might name some sort of special landscape. But what ends up happening is that in even sort of the more unknown places, what I think the most special thing about this project and what I feel the strongest about is that what is kind of the experience of sharing a landscape with the people that live in the area. So at all of these shows, about half of the people are kind of from the local area and half are traveling from a long ways away. And what's amazing is kind of for us all to be gathering and sharing, kind of sharing the experience of being in a place together. And what that, the reason that that's kind of magical for me is that the people who know and understand that landscape way better than I do as kind of a visitor, then can show me something about that place and I can learn, you know, learn about it in a new way. And that's kind of, to me, the best part about this project is getting to not only know the people of these different landscapes, but something about the landscapes themselves.
Mm-hmm. And Hunter, my understanding is that about a third of your audiences have actually never been to a classical music concert. So what's that like for you to actually be able to bring this experience to folks?
You know, it's awesome because it's kind of a whole new world. I think the, you know, I get to like share great pieces like, you know, even something that like Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, you know, something that people have maybe heard, but it's not kind of in the atmosphere like it maybe once was decades ago. And so I get to play this music that has stood the test of time, that people know and love. But for a lot of people, it's their first experience listening to it. And so it's just, it's fun to kind of, I guess get to introduce the music to people who don't have kind of a longstanding relationship to it. And that's, I guess, one of the things I try to do is, you know, a lot of people say that, classical music isn't for them or they don't quite know how to understand it. And that's part of why I like to talk a little bit before each piece. And then I also feel like just being in a more sensory stimulating environment, like where our eyes are at work and all of our senses are at work, it kind of makes the music make sense in a way that it's maybe a little bit more difficult to if you're listening to it in a concert hall.
Do you think that, you know, playing in the venue that you do, right, out in nature like this, kind of make it more accessible for people then?
Absolutely. It's I mean, we have thousands of comments of people talking about the accessibility, how just by putting it in a place that's kind of inherently lovely to be in, it just makes people, you know, they have an easier time feeling the music as opposed to kind of trying to understand it in a more cerebral way.
What's it like for you to play out in these landscapes?
I mean, it's a total dream for me. I love this music, and I also just love being outside. And so, I think what's kind of interesting about performing outside is that it changes the way I play. So, you know, if I'm kind of playing a piece that has some spaciousness and openness and a bird song come, you know, a bird starts to sing, I might take a little bit more time and people can hear that, hear how that bird song works into the music. Or if there's, you know, maybe a plane that goes by or a train that rumbles through, I might change the repertoire and play something that's a little bit more full and loud and just kind of, there's more of a dynamic and a play between me and us, the audience, and the, you know, and the landscape in which we're kind of making this music.
And Hunter, I think it's fair to note your organization is a nonprofit. I mean, so you are not trying to get rich doing this. So what for you, you know, what do you get out of these concerts?
What do I get out of them? I mean, I'm basically like living, I feel like I'm so lucky to be doing this. I'm so lucky to be, you know, to be doing something that I love to do, and also to be sharing, you know, sharing these places and this music with people who also love, you know, love the place. Like, mm-hmm. You know, in Sun Valley, actually last year we played down in Haley, and it was a really special site because they were doing some restoration work, and so that we wouldn't have been able to do a concert there any other year. And we got to sort of connect in with this longer story, this conservation effort that is years in the making and that will continue to develop over the years. And for the Inner Landscape concert and for me personally to be able to be a part of that story and kind of witness that change, and you know, for a few days feel like we're a part of that community, is really meaningful.
Mm-hmm. And Christine, you mentioned that that Noah will be playing along the Big Wood River. So can mm-hmm. you, I'm sorry, Hunter, I called you Noah because of your last name, it's Hunter. So my apologies for that. But what kind of describe the backdrop for folks who may not be fully familiar with that area?
Absolutely. So we have actually worked with a different conservation group, the Idaho Foundation for Parks and Land. And this space is just south of the town of Ketchum. People are familiar with that. But if you're not, this, as you enter into Ketchum, there is a large old agricultural field on both sides of the highway that essentially lead up to the base of Bald Mountain ski area. And the Big Wood River runs along the foot of Bald Mountain. And so this space is actually right below what is the old railroad grade that ran all the way up into Ketchum back in the day and no longer is, but is now the multi-use path for the city and the whole valley. And so this section of land is right off the bike path and backs right into the river, essentially. And so it's an open space between a bunch of aspen trees. And so you can see sort of the base of the mountain. We also actually, the Sun Valley Museum put a sculpture there a few years ago nearby that, right at the corner of that property. And so there's also a beautiful sculpture that was inspired by lava tubes at Craters of the Moon. So it's a very, very Idaho inspired landscape. And it's just gorgeous to be on the river mm-hmm. in the summertime and amongst the aspen trees and to be able to hear this music is just, it's just magic. It really is.
And so, Christine, how do folks, you know, get tickets or things like that? Because you need the headphones. So I'm assuming, you know, there might be folks that stumble upon this, but you know, you need the headphones to actually have the full experience.
The headphones makes the experience so much richer. And to get those, essentially, if people go to Sun Valley Museum's website, svmoa.org, we've got two performances, one on Tuesday night, July 25th, and one on Wednesday night, July 26th. And the shows are at 6 p.m. each night. And we're going to, quote unquote, open that field, which is a field that's not a like gate or anything like that. But we'll sort of start handing out headphones about an hour ahead of time at 5 p.m. Show will start at 6. And if they get their essentially tickets in advance, they'll be all signed up to get headphones. Very likely that we'll have headphones that'll still be available that night. And so even if people sort of stumble across and can hear the piano but want to hear more, they'll be able to buy those sort of access right on site with a QR code that we'll have up there. And so if people just happen to be by on the bike path or the multi-use path and want to join the fun, they're totally allowed. But people can also bring chairs and picnics and all that kind of things and just sort of make a nice, beautiful evening of it.
So Christine, what's it been like for you as just a, you know, a listener of this to experience Hunter's concerts?
You know, I love music of almost every genre, and I do love classical music. In general, we don't program much classical music with our museum. But one of the things we love to do is to kind of bring more senses together than just one. And so this seemed to me to be this perfect fusion of kind of the visual world with the audio world. And again, to combine nature with this incredible music, I really just was beyond blown away. If I thought it was going to be a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, it was about a 27, I think. It was just such a magical thing. Again, it's so hard to describe that we've all listened to music on headphones. We've all been like, if we live in Idaho, we've listened to classical piano music, but somehow this, it's just like an alchemy to me of bringing people together in a way that they've never heard this music before. And it just, I just am in love with the whole project. So I thank Hunter for creating it, because it's really been a wonderful view for me to listen to music. And even when I hear classical music, piano music, I'm like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if that was something that Hunter played outside in the landscape? So I just love
it. I have to say, I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking with us about this. It just sounds enchanting. We've been talking with Hunter Nowak, the founder of the In a Landscape Classical Music in the Wild Concert Series, and Christine Brital, Public Programs Director with Sun Valley Museum of Art. Hunter will be performing, as we said, along the Big Wood River, next Tuesday, July 25th, as well as Wednesday. So all of that's in the Sun Valley area. We will, of course, put a link with more information on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.